A lady lost her handbag in the bustle of Christmas shopping. It was found by an honest little boy, and he returned it to her. Looking in her purse, she commented, that's funny. When I lost my bag, there was a $20 bill in it. Now there's $21 bills. The boy quickly replied, that's right, lady. The last time I returned a purse, the lady didn't have enough change for a reward. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about another character from the Christmas story. And his name is Joseph. We mentioned him a little last week, but I want to talk a little more in depth about him today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we're going to read through verse 25. Here's what it says. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Well, I want to break this down just a little bit this morning, and I want to start with verse 18. So let's read verse 18 one more time. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about this word betrothed and how it's similar to the word that we use for engaged, but not exactly the same. How engagement of that day was a much more binding thing, and it required divorce to actually call off the engagement. We talked about how Mary, who was favored by God, became pregnant by the Holy Spirit before her and Joseph had come together to consummate the marriage. We talked about how this whole thing could have turned into this huge scandal and resulted in a lot of people being hurt. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you weren't here last week to hear that message, go back to our website, shocktonbaptistchurch.org, and click on resources, and you can find all of the old messages. Utilize that website. But if you didn't hear it, go back and check it out. But this morning, I want to look at how Joseph responds to the news that his soon-to-be wife is pregnant, and he wasn't involved in the process. So let's read verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. You know, as I read that, I can't help but think that Joseph must have been devastated. Did you know that Joseph is one of the few characters in the Christmas story that never speaks a word. As far as I know, there is not a single word of his recorded in Scripture. And I'm sure now that I said that, one of you is going to prove me wrong today after the service. But the point is, we know very little about his perspective. We know very little about what his actual thought of the Christmas story really was. So we can only imagine what he was actually going through. And that's exactly what I want to do today. I want you to imagine how he must have felt. I'm sure that when everything first started out, he was excited. I mean, think about it. He was engaged to a beautiful young woman. I can only imagine that his thoughts were totally consumed by her. He was a carpenter, so that I'm sure he was busy building things for their soon-to-be life together. I'm sure that he labored to honor his future wife. He was looking forward to what the future would bring, a new life, children. He was going to be a father. He had to be overflowing with anticipation. But all of a sudden, Mary decides to go visit her cousin. And when she comes back, she's pregnant. And Joseph knows without question that he had no part in it. How could she do this? The woman he had grown to love, that he was going to take into his house, had betrayed him. She had to have been with another man. How else could this happen? Then to add insult to injury, she tells him this wild, ridiculous story of an angel visiting her and being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. He had to have been tortured over all of this. He knew the Scriptures. I'm sure he knew of the promised Son. But man, that's so hard to believe when it's happening in your own life. He knew that if he went public, that Mary could actually be killed for such an offense. How could he shame Mary and possibly have her killed? In spite of everything that was going on, he still loved her. I'm sure that everybody he knew offered their opinion on the situation. All of you men know that you know what it's like to work around other men. They can be brutal in these kind of situations. Now, we know Joseph was a religious man, and I'm sure he wanted to be obedient to the law. He knew what the law said, and it obviously weighed heavy on his heart because he continued to think about it. And if we keep reading in verse 20, it says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,'" which is translated, "God with us." This is a well-known prophecy that's found in Isaiah 7:14. This is the verse that's quoted here in Matthew 1 that we just read, meaning that this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. A virgin gave birth to a child. And this morning, I want to take a little side trip to tell you this. The virgin birth is something that many churches and many pastors are stepping away from. They're saying it's not possible or even necessary for the virgin birth to have occurred. And I want you to know, I absolutely refuse to have any part of that kind of nonsense. I want you to know that this is something that has been debated for a really, really long time. It's nothing new. Much of this debate comes from this scripture from Isaiah 7:14. Some argue that the word translated as virgin should actually be translated as young woman. And I have to tell you that it's possible that originally Isaiah 7:14 simply referred to a young woman. But I have to elaborate on that just a little bit. This word could indicate a young woman of marriageable age. In the ancient world, young unmarried women who reached puberty could reasonably be assumed to physically be a virgin because of the restrictions that are placed on their activities, not only from their family, but from society as well. Now, not only that, but the translators of the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, which was finished over 100 years before Christ, translated this word as virgin. This means they believe that that was the idea that was being conveyed. And Matthew would have used the Septuagint for his Old Testament references. So it's entirely possible and even probable for virgin to be the meaning that was being used here. I tell you this because I don't want you to buy into any of this ridiculous idea that the virgin birth is not necessary. If the virgin birth didn't happen, we might as well throw our Bibles away, because the entire New Testament is built on a lie. Both Matthew and Luke tell us that the virgin birth was a supernatural work of God. There are always going to be folks who want to argue the things they can't explain. And as I said, this is an unexplainable work of God. Now, there's a whole lot more that we could talk about when it comes to this argument. But that's not where we're trying to go this morning. And I tell you all this simply because I don't want you to allow yourself to be influenced by the ridiculous talk that some people throw out. Just accept it and move on. The virgin birth occurred. So let's pick up in verse 24 again. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I can't help but think that having that encounter, that dream, must have been like having this huge, unbearable weight lifted from his shoulders. He had direction from God. Now, that didn't make the task at hand any easier. He still had to walk through the difficult circumstance. But he knew what God wanted. He knew what God was asking him to do. And he obeyed. What about you? Can you say the same thing about your own life? Are you obedient when God calls? This morning, I have 5 things to tell you that you can take to the bank when it comes to following God. The first one is this: following God won't always be easy. Following God won't always be easy. There are times when following Christ is very difficult. There are times when following Christ will bring worldly shame not only to you, but to your family as well. It's not always easy to do what's right. But you know what? Millions of people have made sacrifices for their Savior. God may call you to give up possessions. He may call you to give up your home. He may call you to give up your job. He may call you to give up your pride. He often leads us down a road that we wouldn't choose on our own. Joseph experienced exactly this. He was asked to do something that was totally against everything that he knew, but he did it anyway. So again, I have to ask, are you willing to make those sacrifices? Those ones that God calls you to make that may not be easy. When we look at what he sacrificed for us, how can we not be willing to give him everything, even our very lives? Second thing this morning is this. God never calls us to do something that's bigger than he is. Let me repeat that because I want you to hear it. God never calls us to do something that's bigger than he is. He often calls us to do more than we think we can handle. But he never calls us to do more than he can handle through us. When you're faced with something that seems like it's just too hard for you, I want you to remember what we talked about last week, that the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:37. He said, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." You can rest assured that God will be faithful to his word and he will do exactly what he said he will do. Look at how he fulfilled his promise during this Christmas season. He sent a son to be a propitiation, a reasonable sacrifice for our sin. Every promise that God has made will come to pass. And you can trust him today because he's been faithful this far. We've seen his promises come to pass. We can trust what he says. The third thing this morning is God uses ordinary people who are faithful and obedient. Just like we talked about last week with Mary, there was nothing really special about Joseph either. He was simply available and obedient. Have you surrendered to the Savior with what he tells you to do? It's only when you obey that you'll find out that you were better prepared for what the Lord had in mind than what you thought you were. And he'll lead you through what you're not prepared for. The last thing this morning is this. Sometimes God has to shatter our vision so we can see his. God sometimes shatters our dreams so that he can give us new ones. Are you still holding on to a dream that God wants you to let go of? Sometimes the future that you're trying to prepare for is not the one that God has in mind for you. Always do what God asks, even when it doesn't make sense. Some of us want detailed explanations of what God's going to do before we'll obey. We want all the details ahead of time. But God wants us to just obey no matter what. Maybe this morning you have a dilemma in your life. You have that dilemma right now. You'll never go wrong if you do what you know is right. Maybe you've had a dream shattered in your life and you gave up before God could show you His plan, His vision for your life. You know, every single one of us at some point in time will be faced with those, with one of those choices, where we'll have to choose between doing what is right and doing what we want. Again, maybe you're facing that choice right now. Do what He wants. Even if it's hard to believe, even if it seems impossible, follow the example of Joseph. Mary and Joseph birthed and raised Jesus, the Savior of the world. It wasn't easy. Could you imagine the pressure they must have felt? They would have never accomplished this on their own power. But God uses ordinary people who are available and obedient. But it requires giving up your plans and following His. And Mary and Joseph were willing to do exactly that. And through their obedience, they raised the Savior of the world. Why is that a big deal? Because every single one of us need a Savior. We need to be saved from our sin. And that's not something we can do on our own. And the only way that could happen was for Jesus to leave heaven and come to this earth and take on a human form and live among us. That's what the Christmas story is all about. The Savior living among us. All of us have the opportunity to be part of God's family by receiving the gift of His Son. If you haven't already, I pray that today you'll receive the best Christmas present you could ever get. Will you stand with me? As you stand, I just ask that you bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and you're ready to receive that gift and become part of the family of God. If that's the case, you should know that Jesus loves you and He died for you. The Bible says all of us have sinned, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus came to this earth to die and pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But He didn't stop there, because 3 days later He rose from the grave having conquered death. And the Bible says that if you'll believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. Saved from hell and eternal separation from God. Today can be the day that you begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can leave here this morning and know without question that you're heaven bound. And in just a minute, this altar is going to be open for you to pray. Maybe God has touched your heart in some way this morning, and you realize that you need to make changes in your life. Whatever God is leading you to this morning, don't wait. Take care of it today. Father, we stand before You today, humbled by the thought that You cared enough to send Your Son for us, so we can spend eternity with You and not separated from You. We stand before You not deserving anything but death. Father, You love us in spite of who we are. Help us to have that same obedient, humble heart that Mary and Joseph showed. We need Your wisdom. We need Your guidance to have that heart, Lord. Help us as a body to take your message, the message of your Son, to those who don't know it. We ask this morning for your will and your will alone. If there are changes that need to be made, Lord, we ask that they be inspired by you. And Father, this time of invitation is yours to use as you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you.